الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the very important things to recognize is that when we make decisions about how to react to a circumstance, we should recognize the relative value of the things that are occurring in order to make the decision about how to react. It's a very strange statement. So let me just give you an example. Just to show you how things are relative in the in the context of how we react, if you take a quarter from a child, they get very upset and they'll fight with you and they'll say, "You took my money," and they make a real big deal out of it. They'll make a real big deal out of it because for them, a quarter has a very high value. Because they see that as something valuable. So it's not uncommon for kids to be fighting, "He took my money, she took my money." Okay, you go in there, you break it up, and you say, okay, what happened? "Oh, she took my money. Okay, how much money did she take? I had a quarter on the table, and he took my quarter." So they make such a big deal out of a quarter. But when someone gets older and they get more money, then they don't deal in quarters anymore. Now they're dealing in hundreds. So somebody takes your quarter from you, you don't even think twice. What does it matter? It's just a quarter. You say, "Oh," or you lose a quarter, you don't even think twice. I can easily make that up. So we see things relative to where we are in life and who we are and what we actually have. The reason I give this example, and we'll come back to this in a little bit later, is because it's very important as people who are striving for deen that we understand the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to us relative to the tests that arise in the dunya. Listen very carefully. It's very important that we understand the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for us relative to the tests that arise within the dunya. And what happens is that we get caught up in the dunya sometimes and we don't see what is actually beyond that. We don't see how we could get something better than that. And this then causes us to lose opportunity. So for example, I'll give you one example. There's many, many, many diseases that we could use as examples, but let's just give one simple example, and that is having an argument with someone and holding a grudge against them. You know what I mean by grudge, right? So what happens is somebody does something, somebody says something, we interact with somebody in some way, somebody takes something, somebody gives something, whatever it is, everybody has a different circumstance. But there's some interaction between us and somebody else, and we don't like that interaction. We don't like the way that interaction rubs us. So we begin to hold an ill feeling towards that person in our heart. Now, when we hold an ill feeling towards that person in our heart, that eventually develops into a grudge. So we have a grudge against them. Now, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to interact with them. I don't want to hear their name because they did these things to me. So this then develops into something called a grudge. Now, the grudge is something that very few people talk about. But the deen puts a very unique spin on this idea of a grudge. So maybe we take a step back. You have to remember that the dean puts a very high priority and a very high premium on every Muslim getting along with every other Muslim. Because that's the ummah, and there's only one ummah. And if there is any kind of discord between two people in the ummah, it rips away at the fabric of deen itself. So deen is very particular about everybody has to get along, period. Listen very carefully. Everybody has to get along, period. So much so that the deen prohibits us from having a grudge with another person and removes reward from us when we have a grudge against another person. And I'll tell you that because of this issue, because of the power of this issue, shaitan plants the seed of grudge all over the community. I can tell you that if we individually had to stand up, everybody could find a grudge. Somebody has a grudge against their sister. Somebody has a grudge against their son. Somebody has a grudge against their father. Somebody has a grudge against their neighbor. Somebody has a grudge against their old best friend who they went to school with. Everybody has some kind of grudge somewhere hidden. Because shaitan knows the power of grudge and he uses it to destroy an individual. Now, why does shaitan know the power? What is the power of grudge and why is shaitan so interested in this? Because you have to remember that once a person holds a grudge, it becomes a block for them to enter into Jannah. Listen very carefully. Once a person holds a grudge, it becomes a block for an easy entry into Jannah. I'll give you two examples, both from hadith. One time, Rasulullah ﷺ was sitting with a bunch of companions. This was in Medina Sharif. And he was sitting with a bunch of companions. And all of a sudden, while they're sitting, Rasulullah ﷺ, he says that the next person who enters into the masjid, this person is from Jannah. This person is of Jannah. Next person to come into the masjid, this person is of Jannah. Now, Sahaba gave their whole life for Jannah. That was the only thing that mattered to them. Everything else was secondary. These were people who had basically taken Islam at the most difficult time, given their wealth, given their energy, given everything for deen. So you can imagine, if Rasulullah ﷺ is saying that there is a person of Jannah that's going to enter into the masjid, everybody's attention is on that person. Now what happens? Shortly thereafter, a man from Medina, one of the Ansar, he walks in, he has slippers in his left hand, and he has his beard wet from wudu. And everybody's looking at this man and thinking, okay, you know, this is a person from Jannah, wow. Now what happens? The next day, the same thing happens. Rasulullah ﷺ says the same thing, and the same guy comes in. The next day, the same thing happens a third time. Rasulullah ﷺ says the same thing. The same guy comes in. Okay? So now what happens is, one of the companions, he decides that he's going to figure out what's behind this. This is a person of Jannah, and it's being told multiple times. So he decides that he is now going to investigate. So what does he do? He goes to this individual, and he says, you know, I got in a fight with my dad. I got in an argument with my dad, and I cannot stay in my father's house anymore. So would it be possible that I stay with you for a few days? You know, they all knew that you can only have a disagreement for a few days. So can I stay with you for a few days? So, of course, this individual says, yes, you can stay with me. So now they're staying together, and the person is watching. Like, what is this guy? How is this guy is going to Jannah? How is it that Rasulullah ﷺ is stamping that this guy is from Jannah? He's watching like a hawk. What kind of ibadah he does in the middle of the night? What kind of special, unique dhikr he's doing? What must be going on? And he's watching, nothing special. Nothing special. Even he sees that the guy doesn't pray in the middle of the night. The night comes, he's watching what kind of special prayer he does. He sees the guy sleeping the whole night. Except that he gets up, on occasion he kind of gets up, he says, Allah, you know, he says, just mentions Allah and goes back to sleep. So he's thinking, what is it? What is it? This guy, there has to be something special. So he sees the whole day goes like this. Okay, so now maybe I missed something. Maybe it didn't, you know, some very important thing I don't know about. He watches the next day. Same thing happens. Nothing special, just an average guy. Nothing that you can pick out and point at and say, oh, he did this or he did that or he said this or he did that or he donated this. Cannot find a thing. Even in the middle of the night, maybe the first night he was tired. The second night, again, sleeping, wakes up, mentions Allah, goes back to sleep. No prayer, nothing. Okay, second day. Third day, the exact same thing happens. So now he's really confused. How this is supposed to be a person of Jannah. Where are the big acts? Where are the big worship? Where is the big dhikr? So he then finally, at the end of the third day, he says, look, you know, I didn't get into any kind of argument with my dad. That's not the story here. Actually, the truth is that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that the person who comes in from the door now is a person of Jannah. You came in the door. It happened on multiple occasions. So I wanted to know, what is it about you? What is it about you that gets a guarantee of Jannah? So the person is also perplexed and he says, there's nothing. There's nothing about me. There's nothing I can even special say about me. So he begins, so this individual who was staying in the house for 3 days, he starts leaving. As he's leaving, this sahabi, this Ansar, from the Ansar, he calls him back. And he says, you know, actually, I was thinking there is one thing. There is one thing. Every night before I go to bed, I clear my heart of any ill feelings towards anyone. Every night before I go to bed, I clear my heart of any ill feelings towards anyone. Meaning what? I don't have any grudge against anybody. I remove any grudge. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter how they acted. I remove it completely from my heart. Then the companion said, this is a very, very difficult thing. This is a very, very difficult thing. Now, what is this highlighting for us? This narration is highlighting for us how bad a grudge can be, how much harm a grudge can cause us. Now, the funny thing is, when somebody does something to us and we have a grudge, we think that we're benefiting ourselves. Now I have a grudge. Now I feel really good. Now, you know, now I really can show that person what I think, and I'm going to, you know, hold my feelings, and I'm going to be firm, and I'm going to be strong about how mad I am and how upset I am. The only one being harmed is ourselves. The only one being harmed is ourselves. Why? Because such an easy way to get into Jannah. Such an easy way to get into Jannah. Look, nothing else. Just remove the grudge. An easy path to Jannah. And by having that grudge, all we end up doing is cutting ourselves off from a easy score into Jannah. So who benefits from the grudge? Do I benefit from the grudge? Do I change the situation? Does the other person finally wake up and say, oh, you know, now I see you're so mad at me that I can see why you're so mad at me? No, it never happens that way. The only one who benefits from the grudge is Shaitan. The only one who benefits from the grudge is Shaitan. When a person has a grudge, Shaitan just blocks a very easy path for them to go into Jannah. And this is why Shaitan spends so much effort creating creating big things out of little problems. Such a small thing happens and the person says, that's it, I'm angry, I'm not going to talk to this person anymore. I'm not going to look at this person anymore. I'm not going to interact with this person anymore. Now this person is going to see, I'm never going to invite this person anymore. So who won? Shaitan. It should be the opposite. Somebody wrongs us, we should invite that person. We should remove the grudge from our heart. We should completely remove it. Why? Because it's a quarter in the context of Jannah. You know, in the beginning I was saying that kids get upset. Somebody took a quarter from me, right? But then when a person gets older, they say, oh, the quarter means nothing. What does it matter? Somebody took a quarter from you. Forget about the quarter. Just play. Keep playing, right? So this is the exact same situation. In fact, it's even more. Whatever anybody ever does to us in this life, it could never be anything compared to Jannah. So why would we fight over a quarter and put at risk Jannah, which is so much more valuable. It's a fool's game. It's a fool's game. Instead, what should happen is every night before we go to sleep, we should think in our heart and we should say, let me scan my heart to make sure that I don't have a grudge against anyone. And if I have any kind of feeling towards anyone else, Ya Allah, let me remove it from my heart so that I could get Jannah instead. You know, it's like this. My child gets in a fight with another child over a quarter. I say, forget the quarter here. Take a $100 bill. Child's like, okay, I'll take it. No problem. The child gets happy. They forget about the quarter. That's a quarter and a $100 bill. They relate to one another. You can't even relate Jannah to these little petty things that happen in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying, what we're being told in deen, is that forget the grudge, take Jannah instead. Drop it. Drop it. It doesn't matter. It's detrimental to you. It's detrimental to deen. It's detrimental to the ummah. Drop it. And instead here, take a Jannah pass instead. But now you tell me what makes sense. Does it make sense to sit there and say, I'm so angry, I'm so angry, I'm so angry, I'm going to hold this grudge, I'm going to hold this grudge, I'm not going to talk to that person, I don't forgive them, I don't care, they took my money, they took my jewelry, they took my this, they took my that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the context of what's being offered instead. Why would we take that chance? And now everybody has a grudge against somebody. Everybody has a grudge against somebody. Every day I'm getting emails. I'm so upset at this person. I'm so upset at that person. This person said this to me. This person. Forget about it. I would go to the person and say, you know, whatever happened, forget about it. It doesn't matter. At the least, we should clear our hearts every night before we go to bed. At the least, we should clear our hearts every night before we go to bed. You know, in another narration, look at it the other way. Just think about this for a minute. In another narration, just looking at it from the other angle, in another narration in Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every Monday and every Thursday the gates of Jannah are opened. Every Monday and every Thursday the gates of Jannah are opened, and any person who does not associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can enter from those gates. Except the person who has an ill feeling towards another. Listen carefully. Except the person that has an ill feeling towards another, it is said about that person, wait until they reconcile. Wait until they reconcile. Wait until they reconcile three times. Wait what? Wait for their entry into that easy gate of Jannah until they reconcile their grudge. When they reconcile their grudge, then they can enter into that gate. Now you tell me, how does it compute? How could it ever be worth having any feeling against anybody in our hearts? Now we have feeling, and we have not one grudge, we have multiple grudges. Shaitan is no fool. Shaitan doesn't tie one knot. He ties multiple knots. I have a grudge against my mom. I have a grudge against my dad. I have a grudge against the imam. I have a grudge against the management of the masjid. I have a grudge against my teachers. I have a grudge against my boss. It's like so many knots. Shaitan is just, having a field day with this. Having a field day with this. This is a disease of the heart, grudge. You know, people talk about disease of the heart. Envy is a disease of the heart. Lying is a disease of the heart. Backbiting is a disease. Grudge is a disease of the heart. Every person who is trying to succeed in deen has to know that and has to remove that from their heart. No matter how difficult it may appear. We have to go back in our past and we have to basically remove every single possible ill feeling that we have towards another. And I'm telling you, it benefits us in this life, it benefits us in the hereafter. When a person has a grudge or some sort of ill feeling towards someone in the past or some event in the past, the only thing it does is it creates sadness and difficulty within them. They walk around with anger, they walk around with depression, they walk around with sadness, and then it affects them. It doesn't affect the person that they have the grudge against. It affects that person. So let it go. Now what happens is they spend thousands of dollars, they go to a therapist, the therapist says let it go, and the therapist can't even offer Jannah in exchange. They just ended up paying thousands of dollars to the therapist. The therapist says talk it out, talk it out, talk it out, let it go. Talk it out, talk it out, talk it out, let it go. Dean has already provided the solution. Don't even let it build up one night. Don't even let it build up one night. That's the solution in Dean. Every night before a person goes to bed, they should sit down and scan their heart with a fine-tooth comb. Anywhere can I find any ill feeling towards anyone? Can I find any grudge towards anyone? Can I find any discontentment towards anyone? Scan, scan, scan. Remove it. Remove it. Let it go. Remove it. Why? And picture Jannah instead. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if I'm wrong. Forget about it. Ya Allah, give me your Jannah instead. Let me enter from that gate that opens on Mondays and Thursdays, because I have nothing else to offer. Every single person striving towards deen has to recognize the importance of this issue, because it's very common. The names change. One person has a grudge with their sister. How does a person have a grudge with their sister? Subhanallah. What is there? What is it? What is it? What did your sister do? She took your Jannah? No. What did she do? She said something really funny to me. She looked at me funny. When? 20 years ago, she looked at me funny. And she's going to figure it out if it takes 20 more. What is that? Nobody's figuring anything out. Nothing changes from this. You know, life is that way. There's always friction. That's why the deen puts such import on this. There's always friction. There's going to be friction between any individuals that interact with anyone. It doesn't benefit us to hold a grudge. Even if somebody does something that's so apparently bad and hurts us and harms us, that's the opportunity to say, let it go. That's the real opportunity. That's how the person earns Jannah. That's what makes it difficult. That's what makes it difficult. Some small thing, oh, you stepped on my toe. No, yahi, I don't hold any grudges. What are you talking about? There's no challenge there. Somebody bumps you on the way to the door. Yahi, I don't hold any grudges. That's not it. There'll be some very heavy calamity that will occur in life. Then the person will be challenged. Do I hold grudges? You know, the level of divorce and these types of things where people readily hold grudges for decades. You know, fights over inheritance, divorce, fights over assets, these types of things where shaitan really can just peg the person down for decades until they go to their grave. That's the challenge. All of it has to be let go. All of it has to be let go. There's no discussion. There's no debate. There's no even confusion. Because on this side of the balance is Jannah. On this side of the balance is something in the dunya. How can you weigh the two? There's no computer that can weigh that. Jannah far outweighs anything in the dunya, anything in the whole universe. Forget about this little dunya in which we exist. We're little ants bumping into each other on occasion. We're little ants bumping into each other. We're not even little ants. One day we have to have a talk about the reality of the speck of the universe in which we exist compared to everything that exists. We're nothing. We're not even ants. Ants is magnifying who we really are. We just bump into each other, bump into each other, bump into each other, and then there's a grudge. You did this to my sister. You did this to my brother. You did this to me. You did this. You talked this way. You looked at this way. What does it matter? Every night, these are the challenges of suluk. It's not the challenge of suluk to sit in a corner and do dhikr for 10 minutes every day. That's not the challenge of suluk. The challenge of suluk is to take advantage of these types of opportunities and to avoid this trap of shaitan. Every night before we go to bed, we should clear ill will towards any other person. Every night before we go to bed, we should clear ill will towards any other person. Now, look, this hadith is very beautiful. You know, this very simple person walks in with the slippers in his left hand and the water dripping from his beard. You know, everybody's attentive towards what's going on with this individual because everybody wishes they could be guaranteed Jannah. Everybody wishes they could be labeled as a person of Jannah. And this person has just such a simple thing. Before I go to bed, every night, before I go to bed, I clear my heart. It should have been that the person was praying rak'ah after rak'ah in the middle of the night. No. Such a simple thing. But it's not a simple thing. It's a simple thing, but it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Because life is such that we end up having friction in some interaction. And then it's very difficult to let go. But the only person who's going to have the sense to let it go, the whole world has grudges. I mean, look at what's going on in the world around you. Everybody's got a grudge against someone. But the only one who's going to have sense is the one who recognizes what Allah is offering in exchange. You know, then the person has the sense to let the grudge go, because then they start thinking, I don't care about anything here. I'm not able to earn Jannah there. So let me make this very simple sacrifice and just slaughter that ill feeling. Let me let it go. It doesn't matter. If I'm going to get Jannah in exchange, let me let it go. Like I said, you know, somebody steals your quarter, somebody else comes and says, here's $1 million. You say, oh, okay, take another quarter. No problem. Right? What would the response be? The response would be, oh, actually, he took two. He took two quarters. Right? Because we know that $1 million is far more than just a quarter. And there's nobody in this room that if a quarter was stolen from them and $1 million was given in exchange, they would even remember the quarter. Nobody in this room would even remember the quarter. So how can it be that a person of deen, who truly believes in Allah, truly believes in the last day, truly believes in judgment, truly believes in Jannah and Jahannam, how can it be that a person would know that I can have Jannah in exchange for slaughtering my grudges? How could any sensible person not slaughter their grudge and carry another grudge after that day? It's not a deficiency in, oh, you don't understand what happened to me, brother. You don't understand what that person did to me, brother. The deficiency is on the other side. We don't really understand what Jannah is. We don't really understand who our Lord is. That's where the deficiency is. Because if it was $1 million, everybody would take it. Because they understand, because they're caught in dunya. It requires elevation beyond the dunya. It requires a person to be in a certain state where they're doing dhikr, they're advancing themselves, they're disconnecting from the dunya, they're understanding the reality of the akhirah, and then they say, wow, this is so easy, let me slaughter that grudge and let me go ahead. And if somebody comes and does something that induces a grudge, no problem. They say, that's the only way I'm going to earn this. Allah is going to test me in this. And I'm ready to do that because I know how easy it is to get Jannah. Ya Allah, whatever is in my heart, I let it go. Give him much better. Give him Jannah also. Ya Allah. Give them Jannah also. Ya Allah, your treasure is infinite. Not only give me Jannah, give them Jannah and help me to remove this from my heart. Look, what do we want in the end? We're all brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all one community. We're all the children of the prophets that came before. We want that every single person thrive. We want that every single person thrive. So we have to teach one another and we have to ourselves remove any ill feeling towards one another. That's what brings a community together. That's the only way that the community comes together. And now we're so ready to fight over every little thing and hold it in our hearts forever. We have to be very particular about this. Very particular about this. Every night before we go to bed, we let everything go. And we say, Ya Allah, whatever's in my heart, I'm trying to remove. I ask you that you give me the tawfiq to remove it. And Ya Allah, let me recognize the Jannah that you've created in exchange. Very, very easy way to get into Jannah. And the opportunity exists twice a week. Not once a week, twice a week. Like in the hadith that we mentioned. Monday, Thursday. Same questions asked every Monday and every Thursday. Same opportunity exists. So it's not like it's a missed opportunity. We're not talking about this so we can all get depressed and sad and then, you know, say how we missed this opportunity. The time that we'll be sad will be in the grave. Now I got to sit and answer for all my deeds because I missed the easy gate into Jannah. Now we got to go through the real thing, which is now these grudges that we have, now they're going to be judged. Then when we're judged, then we'll be crying. Because even if we win, we lose. Because of the time and the delay and the stress of having to wait to go to Jannah. There is no winner on that day. There's only losers. Everybody will be panicking, running after their parents, running after their friends, running after their children. You did this to me. You did that to me. Give me this. Give me that. Everybody's chasing after one another on that day. So why even go through that? Why even go through that when there's a free pass? We should be wise we should be cognizant of Allah's reward in the context of these petty things that happen in this life. We should slaughter these things and we should focus on things that actually matter. We should be people that bring the community together because this is the community of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I should do everything in my power. If I can't expand the community, which is actually the responsibility that falls on my shoulder, if I can't take the time to expand the community, at the least I should keep it intact. At the least I should keep it intact. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us the tawfiq to be able to remove any ill will towards any other Muslim brother or sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to, before we go to bed every night, remove any grudge that exists in our hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to enter easily into Jannah and not be restricted by having to reconcile any grudge that we might have. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين